This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on transformation towards sustainable agri-food systems. The participants are Professor Ramesh Chand, advisor, Niti Aayog, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.
The 32nd International Conference of Agricultural Economists, ICAE 2024, centered on the theme Transformation Towards Sustainable Agri-Food Systems, is going on in New Delhi. For more on this, we are now joined by Professor Ramesh Chand, member Niti Aayog and chairman of the conference. Welcome, sir, to Akashvani Studios. Professor Chand, India is rooted in agriculture traditionally, and Green Revolution took us more towards wheat and paddy and more fertilizers. Probably that was needed at that time. What is the need now to go back to sustainable agriculture, which is the theme of this conference?
You see, Green Revolution helped India to come out of widespread hunger and heavy dependence on import. This could be possible because Green Revolution enabled us to raise the growth rate of food output higher than what was the growth rate in population. So, because of adoption of modern varieties, particularly of wheat and paddy, use of fertilizer, use of other agrochemical, we were able to raise our per capita food production on a rising growth trajectory. And this change accelerated in the last 10-12 years, as it usually happens that every method of production, every set of technology has its own life, it has its own cycle. So after that cycle is completed, after its growth potential is harnessed, so you will find that new kind of issues will emerge. And same thing happened with Green Revolution, that we faced first generation problem, second generation problems. So now this realization is happening, and the reason that we can pay attention to this realization is that we are now not food deficit country, we are now food surplus country. So now this realization is that yes, growth is important, but we should not be pursuing indiscriminate growth rate. We should not be pursuing growth blindly by ignoring what are the costs associated with this growth. What is happening to our water? What is happening to our soils? What is happening to our environment? What is happening to our biodiversity? They are also important for our future generation. So now what is being debated is that yes, growth is important, but along with growth, sustainability is also important. If we do not make judicious use of our natural resources, we can land up in a very, very serious problem. And also new kind of issues have come, like climate change, this greenhouse gas emissions, global warming. These were not serious issues, say, in 70s or 80s. So we could afford to ignore them. But today, entire world is concerned about global warming, climate change. So today we are in a situation where we need to take a holistic view of agriculture sector, that agriculture is important for a country like India, but we have to see that agriculture contribute to growth and development of country in various ways, but at the same time ensuring that we are doing agriculture in harmony with nature. And today, since our population growth rate is now decelerating, it is now less than 1.5%, and our food production is now between 3.5 to 4%. So roughly, you can say 2.5 times the what is growth rate in population. That's why we are able to export our food. So now, even if we have to strike a balance, even if our promoting sustainability, that slight hit comes, that our growth rate, say, comes down from 4% to 3.5%, it doesn't pose any threat to our food and nutrition security. This kind of situation has provided India a confidence that yes, now we can give direction to our agriculture, taking cognizance of all aspects, growth, sustainability, environment, farmers' income, affordability by consumers, improving health, nutrition, etc., etc.
Indeed, yes. Sir, because of indiscriminate use of fertilizers and pesticides, our soil has got polluted, and now it's time to check that. Professor Chand, the budget had agriculture as a top priority. 1 crore farmers are to be converted into organic farmers along with certification and branding. And I think certification and branding is very important because certification of organic produce is very expensive. How does one go about it?
You see, 1 crore looks like a very big number, but we have 13-14 crore farmers. So it just comes to 7% of farmers. And this kind of practice, natural farming, organic farming, they are already happening for a couple of years now. And we have some learning from it. We have some very good success stories. And we also have lessons where we did not get so much of success. So I sometime back wrote a paper in Niti Aayog where I presented a sort of roadmap to move in this direction. So according to that, according to my calculation, in next 8 to 10 years, India can afford to put 20% area under these kind of practices, whether it is organic farming, that will definitely result in better quality produce.
Mm-hmm.
But that in some cases may result in lower quantity of produce, in some cases, not in all the cases. So we can absorb that kind of situation. We can face that kind of situation. So our approach towards meeting this target of chemical-free agriculture should begin by first judicious use of chemical, then in a planned way reducing these chemicals, then based on whatever experience we learn, replacing these kind of things completely. But this should not come as a jerk. We can't bring it suddenly that we just appeal to half of the farmer. We have to move in this direction gradually so that we learn from experience that how does it go. For example, in 1 year, we may get good results. But in another year, the situation may not be that good. Agriculture is a biological production. So in 1 year, there may not be any insect attack, but next year there may be insect, serious insect or pest attack. So that is the reason behind this thinking that 1 crore means only 7-8% kind of farmers. And that also augurs very well with demand side factors. You see, this organic produce and chemical free produce certainly is very good in quality. And those farmers who are going for it, they are expecting better price. So if you just create a glut of this kind of produce in the market, then farmer may not get better price for this kind of produce. So both from demand side as well as from supply side, moving in a planned way with a target of say achieving 20% in next 8 to 10 years, and then taking a fresh view that, okay, we have started promoting this chemical-free farming. What are our experience? How much we have gained from it? What are its consequences? And then we decide whether to raise that 20% in next 10 years to 40% or what to do. And in the meantime, Lalmanji, I also emphasize to our search system, ICR and State Agriculture University, please start putting science into natural farming, science into organic farming. We should not just take it that this was a natural method. We keep it like this. There is a lot of scope to increase productivity of natural farming. There is scope to increase efficiency of natural farming, organic farming. So that's why at the same time, including these things into the curriculum of agriculture universities, that we take science into this, we improve further upon it, and then with the experience, we go to next stage.
Right. In fact, your nomenclature of chemical-free farming is very apt, Professor Chandik. Moving on, low water tables and its scarcity pushed us towards millets. And we have done our bit by including millets in the MSP and distributing them in ration shops. Now, we also have now focus on pulses and oilseeds. We import both. Can we encourage farmers to grow more of these pulses because they fix nitrogen in soil and monocropping isn't a great idea anyway? How are we going to go about these two things?
There are two ways to address problem of natural sources like water.
Mm-hmm.
One is that we should put a check on profligate use of waters. We are a water stressed country, but we are going for flood irrigation. If you look at how much water we use to produce 1 ton of food, we use much, much more water than any other country, and it is 2 to 3 times. So one that need to act upon it, that we improve water use efficiency. We see to it that gradually this flood irrigation get replaced by efficient method of irrigation. For example, rice doesn't say that you necessarily use 3,000 liter of water to produce 1 kg of rice. You can do it with even 1,000 liter of water or 1,500 liters of water also. So first thing is that we need to put a check on this inefficient use or wastage or excess use of water. That is the first step which we need to do. Then second is that changes in cropping pattern, changes in variety, changes in seasons, changes in even geographic location in crop. This millets have many desirable or attractive property that they are hardy crop, they are very nature friendly crop, but at the same time their yield is low. So that's why in the last year budget, Center of Excellence in Millets, efforts are being made that millets are the crop of the future. In the changing climate scenario, in the changing this rising stress on natural resources, we would eat hardy crops like millets. And in some sense, millets are a blessing because they are nutri-cereals. They have much better nutrition compared to rice and wheat. But we need to raise productivity of millets. Right now, productivity of millet compared to rice and wheat in different places is half or even one-third. So that millets, they are very attractive, they are nutritious, climate-friendly, nature-friendly. We have to, right now, you find that they are being grown in marginal environment, adverse environments. We have to raise their productivity so that farmers, they find it attractive to replace some of the area under crops like rice and wheat with millets. Only then the real objective, real goal of addressing this water stress through millet will be. But you have rightly raised this issue of oilseed and pulses. There are different reasons for deficiency or import dependence on these crops. In oilseed, it happened despite the fact that production was rising. The reason for dependence on import is that our per capita intake of oilseed has risen like anything. No other crop has seen that kind of increase which has happened in case of edible oil. We are dependent in oilseed to the extent of 55 to 60%. A large number of efforts initiative have been undertaken. One is that 2 years back we started with the National Edible Oil Palm Mission, especially in Northeast, that for that region even we can go for oil palm cultivation. And the beauty of that is that 1 acre of oil palm can give you as much oil as on an average say 10 to 15 acres of say groundnut or mustard or soybean will give. So that was one thing. But now both for oilseed and pulses, many new things are contemplated. The biggest factor is in terms of price risk. So farmers often say that we do not have assured MSP. Government of India has strengthened PM Asha scheme. So under that scheme, the states are being provided required resources and they are being helped to procure pulses and oil seeds. So I think once this price risk is addressed in case of these crops, that will provide strong incentive to farmers to expand area under these crops and also to increase their productivity and thus production.
So along with the emphasis on drones as playing an important role in agriculture, along with reforms like Kisan Samman Nidhi, which is a kind of a pension scheme for the farmer, digitization of land records, crop insurance, and also equal importance being given to allied sectors like beekeeping, fishing, I think we are raring to go as far as agriculture is concerned. Thank you, Professor Ramesh Chand, for enlightening us on the whole issue of agriculture, and thank you for sparing your precious time from the conference. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on transformation towards sustainable agri-food systems. The participants were Professor Ramesh Chand, advisor, Niti Aayog, and Lalima Aneja Dang, anchor.